School History Project on Smoky Hollow. The interview is Annette Mills at 37 Upland Avenue on April 14, 1976 at 9:30 p.m. All right, Mr. Quattro, could you tell us about the time when you moved into Smoky Hollow around 1925, I believe you said? Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Well, my parents died when I was a young boy, 11 years old. And I probably just about had to work all my life. From then on, I had to quit school. So in 1925, I came from Blair, Ohio. And we went on strike and I landed in Youngstown. I knew some people in Youngstown. So I came to Youngstown and I said, and you know, the first time I went down, I was kind of impressed with the people down there. I was always athletically inclined, you know, but I never had the real time to participate in the sport that I like to do. So I took mostly like the leadership end of it, like managing or writing up or keeping score. And when I got down to Hollow, the people down there, they were so, I don't know, they had that friendliness about it. I don't know whether you're Irish or Italian or Slovak or German, whatever way, they were speaking to me, they were all alike. Because imagine, I'm just a young kid, I was about 17 at the time, and I came down there knowing nobody. And good God, I come out of the house pretty well. I don't know nobody, just take a look. Lo and behold, any good, right down the corner of Watton Avenue, every night, just your gang of them old people. Let's stop there and start playing play stuff, you know, card jobs, right out of the front there, or play on water, play bocce.
Excuse me, Mr. Quattro, could you tell us a little bit about what the amore was and the best death or?
Well, it's a game where you match fingers, and you know, if I'd say same, you know, tie that means six. Now, if I threw three fingers and you threw three, and I said six, that would be a point for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an old Italian game, and that was, you know, on the street, spend your time. I've seen that, I've seen it once, I've seen it thousands of times.
Now, you mean they just stood up right on the corner
stood
and did
right
this?
Stood right up on the corner in their own way, native language, and say, say, do. So they're been all night long to hear them, on one corner and the other corner.
Okay, and now could you describe the tresset? What is that?
Well, Chris said it was another Italian game. What they would do, you know, people there, what I'm talking about, these are not American-born people, these are the people that, they couldn't speak good English, but they had their own tradition, they brought it over here, they're playing cards. And one of the games was Chris said.
They were immigrants then, they were settled in Smoky Hollow.
They would sit out in the front there and get an old pop case or any kind of a case and just, act like a table, they'd sit around and start playing that game.
Yeah, no, was that a bigger game too?
No, that was a card game.
That was a card game.
The winner, whoever, what they played for would be for a quart of wine. They never played for money. They'd sit there and after the winner, now you could have won the game and still you wouldn't win the wine. The way they would do that, they would cut cards after the game was over and see who would get what they call a bundle in Italian, or soap. Puddle means you're the head man, the soap means you're up in it. Now, you're the puddle, so to speak. You would be in charge of that bottle of wine. You understand? Now, I'm the soap. Now, if you can't drink that wine, you want to give one of your buddies a drink, and I don't like that guy, I say, no. You give me, if you can't drink it, let me be in charge, you understand? And then it's time for the guy to give any guy a drink. He'd get drunk.
Well, it was this wine then? It wasn't so much because they were wine, because this was a native drink.
No, that was just like the Coca-Cola is the American.
All right.
Wine. They had that wine in the morning, noon, and night.
All right, this is kind of traditional.
That's right.
Like from birth that they drink wine, as I understand it.
That's right.
All right. Could you tell us a little bit about the bocce game?
Well, bocce game, they had a real small ball, real small, and they had ball about three times bigger than what they had, and they're little, you understand. And each man had two of them. And they would feet to a little ball, huh?
Yeah.
20, 30, 40 feet. And the ones that got close to that little ball, it would be points.
Right, now where would they throw it? Right at the sidewalk or just?
Up and down the streets.
In the streets?
In the streets, and nowadays they play that game, they've got a little in the backyard, they got like a bowling alley in the back, you know, they get a little crazy. But them days, we had one place we played, right? One place, but whether you had it or not, they had too many to play. They would take nothing to go from one street to another, because those streets are beautiful.
Right, now you say you played that right in the street. Were the streets at that time brick as they are today?
Yeah.
They were still brick.
Yeah.
And then this has been pretty much of the way it was way back in 1920.
Well, the difference is them days and nowadays, maybe you've seen one or two cars on the street, but nowadays I don't think you could do that on the streets because there's too many, the traffic is way, way more.
All right, there's more vehicles on
the street. Yeah, there's no question.
But there weren't any cars. Do you remember the first car thing around that time? Or?
Yes, by the matter of fact, I do. Some fellow looked up above the street, a young about 21, 22 year old, he bought an old Hudson. I turned together. Every time you come on that corner, about 8 or 9, I said, flying, fill the car right up to the brim. We used to go around looking for girls. 8 or 9 guys in the car, going all over the west side. We go to a football game, you know, the. In fact, one time a guy said, we went to Michigan, I'll never forget, we went to see a man's football game, and somebody stole the car, and we had to walk home, and lo and behold, on a Sunday morning, we seen a guy coming around, right? He was sitting in the bus, calling about one who took our car and this and that, and that guy stole the car, come right in front of us. So we chased him, climbed down the bottom along a hill.
You chased him by foot?
No, we. He had a car there, we chased him.
With another car?
Yeah.
Okay, and you got it and you got your car back?
Yeah.
Was there a big to-do about it, or did you just get your car?
Could you do it as a young kid? There, we just got the car, we wanted to beat him up. But what we going to leave? Just a young kid.
Okay, so you just kind of took your own property?
Where's my car? It was this
Friend's
car, Bartholomew.
Okay, could you describe that vehicle for us just a little bit?
It was an old Hudson. I think he paid $125 for a real old car. Must have about 50,000 or 60,000 miles on a real old beat up.
Now, did it have kind of funny horn?
You press on it and it'll give you that ooh, like, you know.
Yeah, ooh sound instead of the more modern sound.
Yeah, all right. Running boards on it. Yes.
They're collector's items today.
Oh, yeah. There are no such things as sedans like that as they are today. They were really
something, weren't they? I was going to ask you something else too, if you mentioned about sports. You said you were pretty much on the management of it, never really participated as much as you like. Could you tell, can you recall any particular activities that you did manage yourself?
Well, as I said, when I first went down there, I was kind of impressed with the talent I'd see running around there, whether it was football, boxing, chess, so to speak, and the ping pong. And I remember, I didn't know the guys too good. They used to hang up on the pool, you know. After all, I was just, you know, just married, but I didn't know too many people. But anyhow, I see a lot of boys playing, and to me, you know, young as I was, I managed teams when I was back home, you know, where like we used to have a Class B, you know. And there was a tournament. Bobby Rogers, I'm ahead of my story. And I picked the 10 guys up. And I said, I'm going to get in that tournament. I picked the guys up and I got the pitch. I knew who the guys were. And you know, we won the tournament.
Right,
just on a pickup team.
What was the team? What sport was it?
Softball.
In a softball team, kind of a pickup team.
We didn't know what name to put in when we put the entry in. We called it the Walnut ACs.
It was called the Walnut ACs. That was the first.
That was in 1929.
That was in 1929. It was a softball team.
Yeah.
All right. Could you tell us then what happened to this, the Walnut?
The fact that we won that tournament, you know, we had ideas. You know, the softball was just coming around at the time. And first thing you know, the team started scrapping all over the city. And they started a different league, you know. We had a Sunday morning league, you know, every Harrison Field on a Sunday. We used to draw it. I'm not exaggerating. The right from the left field lines were just loaded. Down there to watch the crowds. That's how big the crowds were. And I used to go down town and get different sponsors. You know, one year, for sure, we had the Wallace. Now, remember the jersey, no gloves, and no guy who wore gloves, the first baseman and the catcher. We didn't have nothing. We used to pitch in down a piece and buy a ball and we'd play. And I remember one time, they had a tournament up in the Lions. And we had such a name in this town here about our ability, you know, we were just about beating everybody, that they invited us up to play in that tournament. Now, this is a fact. So I picked up 15 boys. We went up there with that. Those uniforms, just a bunch of, like, you think it was a bunch of bums. We had overalls on, we had patches on our pants. And we went up there. And this team that we played was from the Lions, and they were the favorite to win. Now, the winning of the Lions was supposed to go to Milwaukee. Now then, this team in the Lions was already paid to go to Milwaukee. They were the tournament to me. They didn't even play a game. You understand? Now, they invited us up because we were trying to get a game with this team. They never wanted to give us a game. So they invited us up to go to this tournament. They figured we'd give them a good beat. And they put us first. We had to play on the first game.
All right, now we're all these members on the team. Were they all from Smoky Hollow?
All from Smoky Hollow.
All right, they were all from Smoky Hollow. And then the crowds that attended the game, the first game that they played in Harrison Field.
No.
Or Baldy Rogers.
No, so what I'm talking about, we had to go out of town. We had to go to a line.
All right, that was for the tournament. But I'm talking about the first game where you said they had to have policemen.
Oh, that was a Sunday morning.
All right, that was a Sunday morning league. And you mentioned something that you had to have patrolmen.
Yeah.
Police. The area at that time?
Yeah.
All right. Were the majority of the people from the hollow?
Yeah, that whole hollow was very nice.
All right. Then you had good attendance and solid backing from the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. They'd come out on Sunday morning. They'd come out just like going to church.
Okay. And then you were invited out for, you were invited to a tournament.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that.
Okay. Well, yes.
It's funny, you know, because we had all the competition we wanted in this kind of thing. But the people wanted to show the people this side of Ohio that they were better than us. Now, we never laid no brains, no championship or nothing. We just played in the morning county. But anyhow, we went up there. And believe me, the score after 9 innings was nothing. Now, the 10th inning, A.B. Bernard, he was one of the fastest ball players around here. He was on third base, and a man hits him, but it was two outs. And the guy hits a ball, and believe me, I swear to this day that runner on our team that hit that ball was not first base when they attempted to throw him out. And the umpire called him out. We had the winning run in. And there was a confusion up there. I thought it was going to be a riot. And the people from the Lions was against that team because they knew they lost it. You understand?
Now, what was the outcome then?
Well, the outcome was we just went home. You know, we just left. A week or so later, I get a letter from them. They offered $50 to go back up where they wanted to play again this evening, and we never went up.
You never went up. You wouldn't have taken on that.
We didn't want to go.
Could you tell us then anything else then about your own experience other than, say, the one
team? Well, I had the first put out Smokey Hollow Boys. I had the Sheer Taylor. That's when we started getting really city-wise, you know, and it was like cat and dog going out and get the best players, you know. And we used to hold workouts every spring, you know.
Excuse me, Mr. Crocker, now, but these are still softball teams you have?
Yeah, I'm talking about softball.
Okay, fine.
You go around the city, you know, like the year before you see a guy who's like, I have one on my team, next year I'm going to try to get it. There was a boy up there by the name of Mike Bernoski, he played full back for South High in 28. 29. He's a good ball player. He played shortstop for me. And you know, I got to tell you this story. I had a kid out of the team. Little happy boy. He was about 5 foot tall, you know. He there was big. I think his glove was as big as he was. And he's standing on the sideline, and I ain't working out with him. I'm just going to go in to try out. And I went up to him and said, hey, you, I said, did you try out for the team? Oh, he says, that guy's got to do. Hey, I said, let me do the job for that. I said, you get out there. You can show me you're better than him. Because I preferred Hollow Boys. I didn't put him in on account he was from the Hollow. He was good. And you know who that guy was?
Dr. Sally.
What an athlete. Okay. That kid was, I tell you, that kid was big, little big, but he didn't make anything. I remember one time, you know, where he lived, he was supposed to go east. And the coach, I think it was Harley, he was a little bit of a liquor. He was sitting in the kitchen doesn't know. They told me they were too small. And that was the biggest mistake they ever made up of, because he came down on the ring and my God, he's got records that still stand up there.
That's right, and he went out to make
it. Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. He won championships in, you name it. Even ping pong, anything he went into that kid was good.
Right, he got an attitude that I'll show them kind of thing.
Them?
And did.
And he never, I one ball player, I said, I like to have. Well, any manager would put it, I like to have nine guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, it's easy to manage a team like that. All you do is make the lineup and go to three.
Yeah, because you know you're going to be right there.
You tell them to bunt, you tell them to do this, you tell them that, but he didn't say yes or no, he's doing nothing but the job. Most of the time you do it. Yeah.
All right, was there any other thing that was rather outstanding?
You know, in 1929, it was going to have a depression. Now I tell you, there were so many young fellows down the hall that you wouldn't believe me when I tell you that we had a league only from Smoky Hollow. We had 12 teams. Now if you know 9 men on a team and putting 12 teams in there, you know how many boys you got to have. Now that's how many we had.
Now, about what age group was this? Can you recall me?
Yeah, from maybe, from 17, 18 to 25 in that area. Oh, young fellas, nobody was working. Only one thing was wrong. We didn't have no balls or bats. We'd get a ball, you know, we'd beat the heck out of it, and then we'd have to wait until we got another one. So, I seen an ad in the paper one time. Any boys, see, we had a playground league in our playground, Harrison Field. We formed our own league. We called it the Unemployment League.
All right, now that league was, and that Harrison Field was also in Smoky Hollow. It was part of Smoky Hollow.
Oh, yeah. Just like that, that's it. Now, we had a league only from Smoky Hollow. Now, when I say league with 12 teams, I just mean Smoky Hollow. Now, we didn't have no balls or bats. We had, you know, maybe we'd have one or two bats, we'd break them, we had a ball, we'd wear, you know, a ball after a game, it's gone. I seen an ad in the paper one time, you know, I was so really, he passed away now, saying that they was, the government would furnish us a park, furnish us an insider, give us balls and bats, all we have to do is go for them and apply for them. So me and Otto went up there that day. I think Hal Chase was heading out in the playground at the time. It was Hal Chase. And he went in there and he took all the honors and took it up for it. And he said, the only way I can give you boys, he said, well, I'll give it to you, but you've got to form a club. He said, you've got to form a club. And I said, so we didn't know what name to give it. So Mr. Chase says, have to have a big golden eagle right over his, right up hanging on the wall.
AT&T introduces the Samsung Infuse 4G. It's big, brilliant, thin, colors so real, it's almost unreal. AT&T, rethink possible.
And we had a meeting outside of back of Butchie's house. You know, Butchie Baker's on Wall Street. We went back to his house. He's got some sherry down some boxes. We sat around there. We started a club. We had about two meetings. And we picked the temporary president, temporary vice president, secretary, you know, regular club. And we went up there and we got the balls and bats. And we played a whole year like that. Now, this Golden Eagle Club, we these officers that I mentioned were only going to be, we was going to have a club for the whole hollow. And these club members was going to start a club. We were going to start a club and we were going to start getting members in. When we got so many, we were going to have an election. So for the first time we ever, what we call now charter members, we asked for 50 guys, we're going to take in 50 right off the go. We applied for a charter from Columbus and we got it. And the charter members, 50 members, and you know, we did a lot of great things at that club. I remember one time we brought down some guy from the favorite Knicks team. We bought 87 jerseys from him and paid him cash. How did we get the money? Well, we had a contest. And we called it Miss, I can't remember the name, Miss Personality or Miss Something, of all the girls club in this county, not Youngstown. And we made, I think, 100,000 tickets. We had two guys in our club who were printers. We got that done free. And we charged each ticket one penny. And then we had to go down the Vindicator and get all the names of these clubs and make arrangements to have a date, you know, that we had speakers who wanted to tell them what we were doing. And we'd come to one girl's club there, and we'd be maybe 5,000, or next year 10,000, so we just go to the whole 100,000. And then we had a climax with a big dance up at Idora Park. I think we got Tommy Tucker, now don't pin me on that, but it's been a long time ago. I think it was Tommy Tucker. And we made a little money out of that, and that's how we got all them jackets.
Right. So then, even though money was pretty scarce, then you could still go out and know.
Money was something we knew to us was something that we didn't even bother about it.
You still could go on without it.
We went any place. We'd go to Milton Dam. We'd pick 5-6 pennies a piece, you know, 4 or 5 guys, and buy a couple of guys. That time we'd be desperate. We'd cheat, we'd go to Milton Dam.
Which was quite a way thing from the hall. All right, and then, so there was really always something to do, even though we
had activity all the time. We played ball, we was up at Harrison Field from morning to night.
Right, even though we didn't have TV or anything, just maybe they did their own fun thing.
No, forget TV, forget, in fact, I didn't have a radio in my place till, the first time we put a radio in my house, it was kind of funny, you know, you're sitting in the house all that quiet, and all of a sudden you see somebody, you hear somebody talking, it was kind of something, you know, you experience that when you, there's something coming in your house that you've never seen before. Imagine something coming out of a box talking, you know. And sure, that was something that to us was fantastic.
It was a great accomplishment, though, we thought it
was. When you're talking about having a radio, we didn't even have electricity. And we just have to put electricity in just before the time. Then we went out and got a little radio, and boy, was that something, having a radio in your house.
All right, now, could you recall any of the programs that were on radio during that time?
Oh, Amos and Andy. Oh, you put the radio. I remember we had a walk-a-thon or something down at the Rainwood Auditorium. What was that? That used to come over here every afternoon, and not you know how many people were left.
Could you describe that just a little bit for us, especially for this the generation of today that probably would not have experienced such a thing.
It was a marathon thing. You know, you got on there maybe 50, 60, 80 couples, and the last couple on the floor, now this is continuous dancing. You'd get a break, they have cots right on the floor, you'd get the break, you get 15 minutes sleep, and then you had to go back on the floor, and you should see the dragon and sleeping on each other's shoulder, and they just kept going and going until, well, there was 10 left, and you go there the next day, and there was 9, and they just kept peeling off until they just, I think they broke up, there was 2 left, they just couldn't go any longer.
All right, could you recall how long then that some of these things, that the winners would last?
Oh, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't.
You mean 2 days, 3 days?
About it. It's been 2 days, oh my God, more than 2 days. It was a matter of, oh my God, I would say more close to a week.
Sometimes a week.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be with just 15 minutes.
15 minutes. When your turn came to rest, you got 15 minutes. Then you had to go back on the floor.
Did they call you after 15 minutes? Or
yeah,
they'd
come and get you out of bed and put you right back on the floor.
Right back on.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was no.
And this is night and day now. You just went down the line. Many a night I stayed up there. You know, I was getting further than maybe 21, 22 years old. I used to go and sit there a lot of times. So 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, stay there all night. Just sit down and watch them walking around there.
It was really, they were supposed to be dancing, right? All this time?
Well, they were dancing, but I say they used to give exhibitions every now and then, you know. Every dance they style, you know. Some do that in the Charleston. Charleston was a big thing.
Mikado. Grab the green and get ready for the Green Lantern. Opening in theaters June 17th. Try the Subway Turkey and Bacon Avocado, packed with a powerful avocado boost.
But I did hear a rumor that the promoter, that's why there was 2 persons left. And they weren't making money that they expected. But on the bike from the rumor, I know we went there one night, it was all over. And the word I got was that the promoter just took off. He wasn't the head of the man was supposed to take so much to the winner. He wasn't there, so he just, that was the end of the line.
No, so he probably took off with the money, it sounds like.
But here's something else about the Hollywood. I don't care what part of town it's in, Dave, if you thought he was from the Hollow, I don't know, it looked at you kind of funny. He's from Smoky Hollow. But I tell you, I'm proud to say, although I wasn't born and raised, I felt like I lived here all my life. One thing I'm proud about, I don't know of one boy that went to jail for any kind of a crime. And we've had some very, very prominent people come out from the home. We've had doctors, lawyers, coaches, professional players, you name it. And their background is going right down. Well, one of our leading Eddie DeBartolo. He's born and raised down the hall. I remember one time in the pool room, Mary, we played a 5-cent game, he bought for 5 cents.
So then would you say that he could then come up the hard way in Smoky Hollow, or yeah?
Well, I didn't know Eddie too good, you see, because when I came to the town, he was about my age, and I couldn't tell you his background as far as when he was a kid, see. But when I knew Eddie, he was a young man. But I did learn from other people that he was born and raised on from the Hollow.
Yes, I believe that you were Valley Street, if I'm not mistaken. But anyhow, let's get back to your own experience in Smoky Hollow. And you mentioned several of the games and how you got involved in managing the Smoky Hollow teams. And could you tell us then a little bit, Mr. Parker, what happened after the mills start working and they start hiring people again, and this was, I would say, after the Depression probably was pretty well.
Well, when the Depression was over, we all started back to work, but then the darn thing was, they didn't call it Depression, but still, we weren't what you would say 100% yet. You know, we went through CC camp, we had WTA. I can remember we had people walking up and down the street with soup packages from Walnut Hill there, Watson Hill there, that Billy Moore used to make the, and they come in with the bowl of soup or something. Then the CCs came out. Then the works got, they got a little better. We went for a while, and then I think we went back, we weren't working too good again.
It wasn't steady work, it was maybe several days a week.
Well, I worked, we made a lot of beer cases. You know, the beer came in style, and it passed law in 1933 for beer.
Before you go into that, Mr. Carter, would you go back and tell us just a little bit about the three C's and the WPA?
Well, the three C's was a nice experience for all the kids. The kids went to California. They never had dreamt of ever going to California. They used to get, I think, $30 a month. That used to come home to their parents. And they got their board and everything. They got their trip. It was a nice experience. I remember the first carload of people out of there, Youngstown. The whole train was right out of the Pinelli Station.
What did they do? Do you know what they did? Or, you know, what was the idea of the 3C?
Well, working out in the woods, you know, forest cutting down, building roads, beautifying the country, what it was. My brother went, in fact, in Aspen or somewhere, in Ohio. He was sent in 1936, but the kids that went out here first, they went to California and Utah, but towards the end, they started sending them on here.
Do you think they have such a program today?
I think if they had a program today, rather than put them on relief and spend all that money the way they do, if they had just used common sense and instead of giving them $100 for nothing, there's a lot of things in this country that could be done. There's a lot of things in Youngstown that could be improved instead of letting the kids run around doing nothing. Well, God, instead of they doing this, they doing that. That was a good program.
All right, and this would not only give them a purpose, it would also keep them out of jail.
That's right.
Trouble.
That's right.
And it's a good program, like you said, gave them a living board and gave them some spending money.
You know, I could see myself when I was a kid, I could picture myself if I didn't have nothing to do, no money, nothing, no clothes, couldn't have no enjoyment in life. Hey, I want to start thinking about something. I want to start doing things. Now, things like this, you'd be surprised how much the companionship and people you knew from, you know, a lot of them still communicate. They're old men now, they still communicate. I meet people from all over the country.
Then this was an experience for them, besides it was
a broadened education. That's right.
It gave them then a broader outlook on life.
That's right.
I think.
WPA. We could have it if our fathers in this town here had the foresight as some of our other cities in this country had during the Depression. We could have a stadium in this city. You want to realize there's over, I would say, three-quarters of a million people around this area. And we ain't had no stadium. They started hollering about Youngstown State playing this team and that team. I don't care if Youngstown State had a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who could they play? You want to bring them up Rain Stadium where you can see 15,000 people? Those teams, they want a lot of money. So what happened? If they'd have seen ahead, you had the foresight, you're in the WPA, they could have built a stadium. 20 times cheaper, you could have built a state in them days for $5 million, where you'd have to pay $50 million today.
Do you think that this could still exist today, though, if our forefathers, as you say, or our present administrations, would maybe take some of these people that are on welfare and let them do this kind of a project today?
Well, you could, but you're going to pay through the nose now. You're not getting to the street that you get there. My God, they pay people nowadays, they're not to work. Now, what do you think you're going to pay them to work? As long as you give the people no money, there's no incentive for them to go to work. Them days, I would be tickled pink if they say, you go to work at WPA, we'll give you just the necessities of life, not to pay you $5 an hour. You can give Rick Flair's a dime a dozen in days. They'd be glad to go to work for you. For carpenter, you name it. You could have built anything. You could have beautified your city. That they failed. Now you're going to have to pay it to them.
But now, some cities did do this.
Some cities did do it, and they did gain by it.
And they're still appreciating the benefits of the WPA.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I can't name you any cities that's got that, or I can't think about it. But I know for a fact that there's a lot of communities in Ohio that got that thing done through WPA. And if they have to do it today, why do it? I just seen the people with Youngstown College going to build a little place there. It's $6 or $9 million, and it's not going to be what they're doing there. You could have got that done for $1 million, maybe less. And you see what they got to put out?
Well, they're paying for the labor fee.
You get a guy for $5 an hour. You got yourself a janitor. That's what you got. That you ain't getting nobody else but a janitor for that kind of money.
And even they are getting that.
Building the stadium, you got to get the craft. There's a craftsman there. You got bricklayers. You got plumbers. Electricians. Them guys are high hourly men. Then you got to have technicians. You got to have your architects. And them guys, they don't work for no. Hey, when you take an architect to draw a plan, he probably works $100,000 just to draw a plan. Oh yeah, they missed the boat. There's no question about it. They missed the boat.
Well, it's kind of sad, but you would think that maybe we could learn by our mistakes, but sometimes we never do.
Well, that's when you get this thing's right out of you. You can sit back and nobody wants to admit it, but that's it. You should have had a stadium in this town and at least give it the question, what an opportunity somebody let go.
Mm-hmm. Well,
everything got settled out and everything, then that war came. We lost a few from the home. Now, name me one place in the city that's got a shrine, a monument for their fallen boys. The hollow is old and ancient as it seems and how it looks. It's got a monument there, the hollow names of the boys where they lost their lives. And there was a monument for boys that lost their lives up there. I think the hollow during the war, they did their share. We lost about, I think it's 22 or 23 up there. And that's got their name on that.
Well, these were all Smoky Hollow dead.
All Smoky Hollow, every boy on every name on that
plaque
is a Smoky Hollow boy. In fact, I got a nephew in there.
Could you name some of those boys for me, please?
Well, there's Andy Fine, Billy Santor, Marinelli Boy. The name was, I just can't remember the name.
Now we have a lot more veterans, but we're talking about the
ones
that were killed in action.
I'm talking about the boys who were killed in action. Yeah, we had quite a few of them. And to sum it all up, if all the world would live and act like the people from the old hollow, I think this place, this world would be a better place to live in. Nowadays, no matter where you go, you hardly know your neighbor. Throw like a pot belly stove there, and it's a ball. football or anything.
Do you think that the reason for this was because they were kind of protecting their windows? Do you think that that?
No, they were from the other side of the pond, and they were brought up like that, and they brought it over here. Now these kids over here are more, especially the boys and girls. You know, when I first saw my wife, I seen her running from the one. She was coming from the house. She was going in the back to get rid of some rubbish, and I was sitting on the corner with a couple of guys. And who is that girl? They didn't, but I mentioned her, her father couldn't. I just couldn't look for her. Oh, you're not allowed to talk to her. I said, well, heck, I don't know, murder. So you know what I did? I got off the seat there, and I went to the corner, you know, where she was walking, you know, around the house, and I, when she came back, I hey, she shook like a leaf. She was scared. And the poor old man had seen her, but he probably killed her. But he was really strict, but he was an honest man.
He was still protecting his property.
You believe that my wife had her hair? You know, then they used to be bought hair. And when I married her, her hair was way long. So about a year after we were married, she said she wanted to cut her hair. I asked her, you want to cut your hair? Go ahead. So she wanted to cut it. You know, the old man had to throw her out of the house.
After you were married.
That's true. And you know, I had the cheapest engagement any man would want to have. I couldn't take her out. I'd go down the house there, and I'd go in the house there, maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'd go upstairs, you know, wouldn't be me and her. The old man, the old lady, one over there. I remember one night, the old lady, her and I got along pretty good, but the old man, one night I went in there, I had a chew of back in my mouth. I didn't mean coming up. As a prisoner that he is. Now, he didn't like nobody to chew tobacco. Now, I got a mouthful of it, and I can't spit. So the only one thing I could do, that was swallow. That's what I did, and boy, did I get sick.
Okay, was there anything else that you could recall about your experiences down there, and you know, either after you got married or anything else that you feel like would be relevant to the Smoky Hollow community?
Well, there's no doubt a lot of things that just escape my mind right now, but I think I've covered most of it. I could sum it all up in one thing with one heck of a bunch of people down there. I think. I could go on and on as I reminisce and think. I could think a lot of things and probably speak my mind. There's a lot of them I know. But that's it. Never had no hard feelings towards anybody down there.
And you were always accepted as part of the people
right.
Here.
Yeah, it was buddy. But they still have it. They still have gold legal meetings, you know, once a year. They have all the guys get together and they reminisce. The guys come from all over the country to be there.
Right now, what would happen with some outsider coming into the community, into Smoky Hollow, say not to live, but say to visit? Were they treated with the same,
well,
same
level? Well, the first thing we know, naturally, when you're that close, even like it's like a family, when a stranger comes in town, you want to know it right away. First thing you want to know, who he is. Or you say, that's Joe's so-and-so's cousin or something. I mean, he was accepted by anybody.
As long as somebody else knew him, that he was part of
him. If we didn't know him, we'd find out pretty darn soon. If he didn't fit on that category, he'd know it right away.
All right, but if he was a relative or a friend of somebody
as long
else,
as you know that, you know, you take a lot of strangers sometimes, you don't know who they are. See, as long as you say it's an adamant, he accepts it. As if he could be the worst guy in the world, even though he is your relative. But we were lucky in that way.
They were always accepted then as a friend, more than foe. Okay, there was one other thing that I would like to ask you, Mr. Cotter, if you knew anything about the gypsies.
Yeah, we had a few families down on Andrews Avenue. And they used to, they got a little gypsy music, you know, on a Sunday night, you see them down there, zumba, they go around, play that thing, everyone dance around that all, and make these, those girls are